Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, August 27, 2022. Viewpoints. One-stop shop to expedite permit process. Robin Poole, at-large city councilwoman. On zoning, private property. Since beginning my term on the Midland City Council, we have seen numerous requests for zoning variances or special exceptions. A variance requires permission to use a specific piece of property in a more flexible manner than allowed by the ordinance, whereas a special exception is a specific permitted land use that is allowed when clearly defined conditions and requirements contained in the ordinance are met. Each of these circumstances always merits conversation, and more often than not, the outcome is never predictable. I have seen instances where architects have endured timely delays, businesses have had to delay their openings, and homeowners have been made to tear down improvements to their homes. Other times, not. These decisions are never easy, and oftentimes, frustrations run high for residents and developers due to what they feel are inconsistencies in our systems. I would like to see our zoning and code enforcement ordinances updated in such a way as to preserve the rights of property owners, while offering guidelines that are easily interpreted and applied consistently to residents and businesses across every neighborhood. This would restore a higher level of autonomy to property owners and remove the job title of arbitrator from my role as a council member. On historical zoning, the Constitution guarantees the right to private property, a right that both represents the foundation for liberty as well as financial independence and opportunity. However, since the introduction of zoning laws in 1916, local government's role in promoting private property rights has drastically changed and at times has resulted in arduous regulations, lengthy local permitting processes, and unnecessary ordinances. Historically, zoning laws were written to address issues arising out of the industrial era, pollution from factories, noise, smells, and encroaching warehouses. Neighborhood residents were being pushed out of their homes, and residential values plummeted because of the hazardous environment industrialization created. And while zoning's conventional beginnings served a purpose, somewhere along the way, states and municipalities went too far and created cumbersome practices that limit originality, cultural norms, and freedom. On development services, zoning. Fortunately, Midland is a city that values freedom and private property. We have a hard-working city staff that is striving to make changes that will benefit property owners and cut down on regulation. Currently, if residents are wanting to tackle a home improvement project, they can go down to City Hall and visit Development Services on the fourth floor to begin the permitting process. Someone at the counter will assess the resident's plans and determine if they are sufficient or if they need to meet with a residential planner. Residential planners work with residents and make sure they know all the proper documentation necessary. Drawings are always required. These do not have to be of a professional quality and can be simple hand-drawn representations. Once all documentation is submitted, it is submitted to the appropriate departments. A permit can be expected in approximately 5 days. A new and innovative way of handling permits is close to completion and should be ready for Midland residents to use sometime in December. The City of Midland Development One-Stop Shop will serve to immediately assist those seeking a permit. Staff will be able to sit down with residents, evaluate plans, create drawings, make changes, process through appropriate departments, and issue a permit during that first initial meeting. The Development One-Stop will be an invaluable service to our residents and will expedite the permitting process exponentially. Additionally, the Building and Fire Code Review Committee has recently been meeting to review the code and recommend additions, deletions, and changes. Presently, they are proposing two revisions that would eliminate the need for permitting for 1. accessory buildings under 200 square feet, and 2, pergolas and shade structures. These are both 2 meaningful changes that will go a long way in reestablishing property owners' autonomy by cutting some of the red tape associated with property improvements. To conclude, I will leave you with a quote from one of my favorite political theorists, Russell Kirk. Kirk believed private property was essential to freedom and was an effective tool for teaching people responsibility, as well as promoting integrity. He stated, "Unless property is secure, there can be no civilized life. For without the right to keep what is one's own, and to add to that, if possible, there can be no leisure, no material improvement, no culture worthy of the name. I am proud of the strides we are making towards promoting the right to private property, and I welcome any ideas or feedback from you concerning this matter. RPOOLE@MidlandTexas.gov, 432-553-1750. Crystal Ball, a Smashing Success for High Sky Children's Ranch, by Coleman Sneed, High Sky Children's Ranch. Nearly 500 guests gathered Saturday evening at the Petroleum Club for this year's highly anticipated Crystal Ball. Despite the unexpected downpour, guests came dressed to the nines in tuxes and gowns and filled the elegantly adorned ballrooms in support of High Sky Children's Ranch. Since its inception in 1973, the Crystal Ball has served as High Sky Children's Ranch's largest annual fundraiser, earning itself the reputation of one of Midland's oldest premier philanthropic events. Attendees enjoy a plated dinner, partake in live and silent auctions, and spend the evening enjoying libations and a lively 8-piece band. Each year at Crystal Ball, a worthy individual receives the Rainbow Award, High Sky's most prestigious accolade. The Rainbow Award acknowledges individuals for their spirit of philanthropy, ceaseless altruism, and commitment to High Sky and its mission. This year, High Sky had the honor of presenting the 49th annual Crystal Ball Rainbow Award to Missy Klingensmith. Missy has been a longtime supporter of High Sky and a member of the High Sky Board of Directors since 2017, serving as chairman of the board in 2021. High Sky considers itself fortunate to have the opportunity and privilege to recognize such an outstanding individual. This year's Crystal Ball was an absolute record-breaking event. Once the night had come to an end and the dance floor had cleared, High Sky had officially raised more than $1 million for the organization. Sharing her excitement over the results, Tiffany Parsons, this year's Crystal Ball co-chair, stated, "This year's Crystal Ball event was a tremendous success. We are truly grateful and in awe of the generosity shown by everyone in attendance. I hope the event continues to grow and provides the necessary funds to support the children and families of High Sky Children's Ranch. Every dollar raised from the Crystal Ball goes to support High Sky's mission. High Sky dedicates itself to healing abused children and promoting family wholeness. High Sky provides a continuum of services and support for children and families involved in the foster care system across the entire development of childhood and into adulthood. Through its 8 different programs, High Sky offers prevention and early intervention services, temporary and long-term care services, and wraparound support services. The board of directors, staff, volunteers, and children of High Sky expresses heartfelt gratitude for the tremendous outpouring of support from the Midland community. Midland citizens care truly and deeply for their own. Because of this support, we can build stronger, better futures for every child and family in Midland and in the Permian Basin. Once again, our generous community members gathered to show their support to a great organization. Thank you to all our donors and sponsors who helped make this year's Crystal Ball our best yet. Amanda Arnold, Crystal Ball co-chair. High Sky provides children with the hope to reach for the stars. For more information about High Sky Children's Ranch and how you can support or get involved, call 432-694-7728 or visit www.highsky.org. Midland has college opportunities without students accumulating huge amounts of debt. Stuart Doreen, staff columnist. What President Joe Biden did this week, forgiving up to $10,000 for those making less than $125,000 a year and up to $20,000 for Pell Grant recipients under that income threshold, was a mistake. Most nonpartisan sources will tell you that, and even some leaning left will offer an admonishment of the president. This is what the Washington Post editorial board had to say. President Joe Biden has generally embraced sensible reforms over flashy gimmicks, but his Wednesday student loan announcement did just the opposite. This was a gesture to young people as the November elections approach. The message is simple: vote Democrat. The Democratic Party wants to hold on to the U.S. House after all. I don't know if it will work, but I think it is bad policy. Beyond the politics, I couldn't help but think about the opportunity for those in Midland to further themselves educationally and avoid the debt. Kudos go out to the organizations that make Legacy Scholarship at Midland College possible. Funded by four local foundations, Abel Hanger Foundation, Scarborough Foundation, Helen Greathouse Charitable Trust, and Chaparral Foundation, the Legacy Scholars Program, along with the Legacy Scholarship, offers fantastic benefits for Midland County high school graduates, such as paying 100% of a student's tuition. It is truly one of the great philanthropic programs in our community and has been since 1986, when Abel Hanger established the scholarship. The University of Texas Permian Basin recently reported that it has created Falcon Free, a plan that covers tuition and mandatory fees, up to 15 credit hours for the fall and spring semesters only, for first-time undergraduate degree-seeking undergraduate Texas residents that have a family-adjusted gross income that does not exceed $100,000 and who are enrolled full-time, 12 hours or more each semester. Educational opportunities without the burden of the student debt others face are there for those interested. Midland students, please take advantage of what is currently in place. There always won't be someone in Washington to make the debt you acquire elsewhere go away. Online, utpb.edu/admissions-aid/falcon-free/index. midland.edu/enrollment-aid/paying-college/scholarships/legacy/index.php.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram weekend edition for Saturday, August 27th, 2022. Letters to the editor. Bishop knows school business for students. I met Tommy Bishop in the summer of 1998. I was walking into the superintendent's office in Crane for a job interview, and Tommy was walking out. He stuck his hands out, and we introduced ourselves to one another. After the interview, the superintendent said, "Let's go grab some lunch." At lunch, we were joined by Tommy and his brother. At that point, the superintendent said, "You've met Tommy. He's our board president." Why do I tell you this story instead of hundreds of others about Tommy? To this day, I was impressed that Tommy didn't throw his title around. Tommy knew his role, and what I've learned about Tommy in our 24 years of friendship is that he knows the school business. He knows school law. He knows hiring practices. He knows accountability and how to collaborate for the good of all students. Tommy has put in countless hours supporting kids in Midland and Crane. He's invested, and he's a kid-centered board member. Thank you, Tommy, for your service, and best of luck in November. Signed, Bill Boyd. School board members in general have a hard job. There is no denying that it takes strong-willed people to do it. Midland ISD board members over the last few years have had more than just a hard job to do. As many district seats are coming open this election season, one thing is certain: the District 3 seat should not change. Tommy Bishop has served MISD fairly, with honesty and integrity. His years of service on the school demonstrates consistency in his desire to serve the children of Midland. Tommy is supportive of all schools within the district. He makes every effort to get out in the public to assure the needs of the district are met. He's passionate about safety concerns, instructional needs, budgetary matters, and many other things. He does his part to express these concerns as a board member. Tommy makes himself available to ensure that all kids, teachers, and support staffs in MISD are taken care of and supported. In lieu of all the hard times that MISD has faced over the last decade, Tommy has stood up for what is good and right for the school district. District 3 is in a good place and is being served by the best board trustee, Tommy Bishop. Re-elect him for District 3. Signed, Leanne Dumas.
Hello, this is Michael reading an additional article from the Odessa American from Saturday, August 27th, 2022. Front page. Top Cops, Law Enforcement Now Better Equipped by Kim Smith. As the three-year anniversary of Odessa's mass shooting approaches, Ector County's top cops firmly believe law enforcement is better equipped to handle the threat if the unspeakable should happen again. On August 31st, 2019, Seth Aaron Ator, 36, went on a shooting spree that ended in his death outside Odessa's Synergy Theater. Before it was over, he took the lives of seven people and hurt 25 others, including three law enforcement officers. Ador was unique in that he was a mobile mass shooter. There were 24 shooting scenes, 11 on Interstate 20, and the remaining on the streets of Midland County and Odessa. An Uber driver in Kalamazoo, Michigan, killed six and wounded two at three locations in February 2016. Dozens of law enforcement officers from local, state, and federal agencies responded the day Ador erupted, apparently upset at having been fired from his oil field job. Odessa Police Chief Mike Gerke and Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths agree their agencies are better equipped when it comes to strategy, equipment, and communications. They're also seeing an increase in the number of calls they receive from citizens raising red flags. New strategies. In the years since the mass shooting at Columbine High School in Colorado in 1999, law enforcement officers have spent countless hours preparing for active shooter events. But Gerke said that training is geared toward eliminating the threat of a fixed suspect. That wasn't the situation they encountered 3 years ago. One of the things that happened is we chased this guy around, and then we realized that that wasn't working. So we had to disperse our forces and look for him individually. You would hear you had victims at this location, and officers would go to that location, and on the way, try to look for your shoot actor, and obviously, he was already gone by the time we got there, and that was part of the problem. There was no way to track him effectively. Ultimately, law enforcement decided to disperse and look for Ator individually. Officers looked for Ator roughly 50 minutes before finding him. From the time we actually laid eyes on him until the threat was neutralized, it's like 42 seconds. So it wasn't a problem of officers not choosing to act. It was a problem of finding him because he was mobile, because he was in a vehicle. And then midway through the incident, he changed vehicles, Gerke said. Should something similar happen again, Gerke said supervisors now understand how they must deploy their force, the chief said. You would assign people to certain geographical areas and say, this is your geographical area. This is where you need to hunt, because that's what it is, he said. When hunts are launched, the department now has a camera system that will greatly aid them in tracking suspects, Gerke said. The department has 16 incident management cameras mounted at various locations around town and monitored at the city's real-time intelligence center. In addition, the city of Odessa and Ector County both have several flock safety cameras strategically placed throughout the area that can read license plates. Both also have drones. As far as the sheriff's office, Griffiths said his deputies now have take-home vehicles that will allow them to jump into action more quickly. That day, he had deputies responding to various shooting scenes in their privately owned vehicles, which could have been dangerous if other officers on the scene didn't recognize them, he said. We got more people on our SWAT team. We've got better weapons, better weaponry, more training. You know, we can deploy at a moment's notice, Griffiths said. Every deputy has now been issued the same caliber handgun so they can share ammunition if necessary. Everybody also has a tactical rifle and shotgun now, he said. Additional deputies have been sent to special pursuit driving training, too, Griffiths said. Pursuit driving is a unique skill because when you're driving 100 miles an hour and slowing down and stopping, your brakes get so hot that they don't work. They're useless. I've actually seen them catch on fire. They've been so hot. They get red hot, Griffiths said. You have to learn how to properly keep the bad guy's car in sight, and yet you have to keep your eye on the public, the innocent public. You have to know how to take care of yourself and your car, and that includes the way you're braking, the way you're accelerating, and the way you're turning. The sheriff's office also expects to receive a new armored truck in the next 6 to 8 months that will replace the agency's mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicle, which is out of service right now, Griffiths said. The vehicle was purchased with donated and seized funds, he said. The ability of law enforcement agencies to communicate with each other over the radio has also improved, Gerke and Griffiths said. At the time of the shooting, the Midland Police Department only had the ability of speaking with law enforcement agencies in Ector County on one channel. Now there are three channels, Gerke said. The Midland County Sheriff's Office is also abandoning an old radio system that was incompatible with the system used by everyone else, Chief said. Communications were an issue 3 years ago, but things have improved, Griffiths said. It wasn't that good. I mean, there were some channels everyone could communicate on, but only one person could speak on the radio at a time, really and truly, Griffiths said. This system will override the current person who's talking, so if someone's in a bind, someone will hear them. It's a better deal. External communications have also improved since the Ador situation, the men agreed. State legislators overwhelmingly approved a bill proposed by State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, to create a statewide active shooter alert system that operates similarly to the Amber Alert system for kidnapped children. In addition, residents can sign up for OPD's app, which sends out alerts about shootings, major crashes, and other incidents where there's a large police presence. They can also sign up for Civic Ready, which sends out emergency alerts via texts and emails, along with notices about the weather, downtown Odessa, and Keep Odessa Beautiful. Gerke said he's also pleased that people have taken heed of the See Something, Say Something movement. OPD has seen an uptick in phone calls for people reporting suspicious behavior, and while it's impossible to say how many bad things have been avoided as a result, he's sure there have been some. More residents are also taking advantage of Civilian Response to Active Shooter Events, CRASE, C-R-A-S-E, and Stop the Bleed courses, he said. The police chief also said his department has provided the FBI all of the case information and videos pertaining to the shooting in the event the agency's behavioral analysis unit wants to study Ator and his actions.
Hello, friends. This is Julie reading from the Odessa American. Sunday, August 28th.
Back to school internet safety tips. Start with trust. Heather Massey. As the 2022-2023 school year begins in communities across Texas, and teachers, administrators, and families adapt to varying situations, Better Business Bureau reminds residents to remain cautious when interacting online. While face-to-face instruction is the primary method for administering classes this year, the continued presence of COVID-19 requires preparation and flexibility for possible online instruction. Familiarity with remote learning may have instilled a false sense of security in youth who often do not fully understand the dangers of the internet. Better Business Bureau offers the following tips on how to stay safe on the internet this school year. Teachers and administrators, video conferencing tools. Make sure the online software used to deliver lectures, classroom work, and other online interactions is secure. The days of Zoom bombing, phishing, and other forms of cyber criminal activity are not over. Evaluate and update cybersecurity plans. Now is the time for educators to develop a plan to notify students, faculty, and staff should there be a data breach or security problem once classes are in session. Look at what type of information is stored digitally and the consequences if that information is compromised. What processes are in place to help mitigate the risk? Keep a clean machine and update devices that connect to the internet. Scheduling and regularly backing up critical lesson plans, personal information, and assignments is the best way to recover from viruses, malware, and other online threats. A great practice to protect your device is to stay updated on current software, which often includes updates that prevent cyber criminals from accessing electronic devices. Parents, be careful. Creating accounts on websites without permission. Social media sites are full of strangers with intentions that may differ from yours. Many sites are designed to collect and sell unauthorized user details and behaviors to advertisers looking to engage in targeted marketing. When creating an account, some children may falsely create a birth date to meet the minimum age requirement. Know what your child is doing online and keep track of the social media sites and accounts they have access to. Phishing. Adults are not the only ones who receive spam and junk mail. Kids often get junk mail, and since they don't have much online experience, there is a greater chance they may click on links and answer questions they probably shouldn't. While some emails may be legitimate, the last thing parents want is a $500 bill from a fraudulent website where their child may have made a purchase, or worse, releasing personal information that con artists can track to your home. Understand apps. Short for applications, apps are downloaded software that operates on various devices, such as smartphones. However, certain apps might collect and share personal information about your child or target your child with ads. Even free apps may include paid features, and children may not understand that some apps or game features cost money since the developer labeled them free to download. They may click on these so-called free games and end up costing parents or guardians a hefty bill at the end of the month. File sharing sites. Many websites allow children to download free media. They may not know that these sites often come with the risk of downloading a virus, allowing identity thieves to access the gaming device, personal computer, or even a cell phone. From there, the cyber thief can track financial transactions and geographic location or tap into the household Wi-Fi without anyone knowing it. Tips on how to manage online privacy for the family. Learn about CARU. The Children's Advertisement Review Unit, CARU, is the nation's first safe harbor program under the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, COPPA, signed into law on April 21, 2000. Participants who adhere to CARU's guidelines are deemed compliant with COPPA and are mostly insulated from FTC enforcement action as long as they follow program requirements. When advertising or data collection practices are misleading, inappropriate, or inconsistent with laws and guidelines, CARU seeks change through the voluntary cooperation of companies and, where relevant, enforcement action. Parents can find more information about CARU and its impacts at bbbprograms.org. Learn about COPPA. The Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, COPPA, protects the personal information of children under the age of 13 on websites and online services, including apps. COPPA requires those sites and services to notify parents and get their approval before collecting, using, or disclosing a child's personal information. Read privacy policies together. Parents and children should read the privacy policies and terms of use for any apps they want to use before downloading. Remind them of the importance of knowing what they are signing up for and how information gathered by apps builds their digital footprint. Take time to learn and understand the privacy settings on each app and game. Less is more when it comes to sharing information. Use parental controls if necessary. Although the best way to keep a child's online privacy safe is to teach them to manage it themselves, enabling parental controls is an additional tool to help monitor their online activity. Today, Android, iOS, and most web browsers offer built-in features that allow parents to monitor their children's online activities, but third-party apps are also available. Research the option that works best. Share with care, and remember, personal information is like money. Anything posted online can last a lifetime. Discuss with your children that any information they share online can easily be copied and is almost impossible to take back. Talk to them about who might see a post and how it may make others feel now or in the future. Demonstrate how anything they do online can positively or negatively impact other people. Sharing personal information can also give online thieves an idea of what login information or passwords might be used for banking or other online accounts in the future. Avoid sharing your location. These days, nearly every app automatically tracks a user's location. It's a good idea for children to disable this app feature. Advise them not to geotag their posts with their location either. Heather Massey is the Vice President of Communications Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. Check out www.bbb.org or call 563-1880.
New beau sets sleeping conditions for marriage. Dear Abby, about a year ago, I started a long-distance relationship with a widower. His wife died 4 years ago. He told me he slept on the couch a long time and got very little sleep after her death because he couldn't stand sleeping alone. He has two dogs and had never allowed them on the bed. He finally decided to try sleeping in the bed with the dogs and was then able to sleep. I visited him several times and he doesn't want to sleep with me. We have discussed marriage. When I told him I wanted us to sleep together, he said he wants us to continue sleeping in separate beds after we're married. I don't want that. We have a great relationship except for this. Am I being unreasonable? I feel like I'd be taking second place to his dogs, and I'm hurt that he would rather sleep with them. I told him how I feel, but he doesn't want to compromise. I don't know if I'm wasting my time with him or not. I'm afraid if I insist on it, he'll think I'm being too pushy and break off our relationship. Signed, Going to the Dogs. You're going. It could be that he doesn't want another woman sleeping in the bed he shared with his late wife. Ask him that question. If that's his problem, buying a new bed would solve it. However, if it isn't, and being forced to sleep separately would feel personally demeaning, then this isn't the man for you. P.S. When a couple is discussing marriage, no question should be considered too pushy. Dear Abby, I have two beautiful adult daughters. The older one is who I'm having issues with. She treats me like someone she wishes she didn't know. She and her husband plan vacations with his family and never think of including me. When I ask her why, her response was, "Mom, you're always broke and you embarrass me." I'm on disability, and yes, I'm loud, but that's because I'm hard of hearing. I love my daughters with all my heart, and it kills me how she treats me. She lives on the West Coast while I live in South Carolina. I can't even get her to come visit me. She and her husband prefer visiting his family, who live on the Northeast Coast. I don't know what to do. My younger daughter doesn't treat me that way. Please help. Signed, Heartbroken Down South. Dear Heartbroken, your older daughter not only lacks compassion, but her values are seriously out of whack. That she would blame you for having limited finances or being hard of hearing is shameful. According to the NIH, 15% of adults over the age of 18 have some hearing trouble. Nearly 25% of those between 65 and 74 have it as well. If you are 75 or over, it's 50%. So please dry your tears and concentrate on the child who loves and treats you well, because the daughter about whom you have written isn't likely to change. You will have a happier life if you accept that fact and move forward.
What causes the breast to act like they have a heartbeat? Dear Dr. Roach, what causes the breast to act like they have a heartbeat? It happens to me anytime, any place. Is there a problem? Answer. The breasts are, of course, directly over the heart, and when a person is lying down, both men and women may see the chest move with the pulse. This is especially true in people with forceful heartbeats, such as those after exercise. It is very likely that you are seeing your normal heartbeat transmitted through your breast tissue. There are certain unusual and rare heart conditions that can cause the heart to beat more forcefully, such as a leaky valve that lets the blood back into the heart after the heart pumps the blood into the aorta. This makes the heart work extra hard. A careful physical exam by your doctor would be enough to make sure you don't have these worrisome conditions. Dr. Roach regrets that he is unable to answer individual letters, but will incorporate them in the column whenever possible. Readers may email questions to yourgoodhealth@med.cornell.edu. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.